Think of it like a ring, a diamond ring. A diamond ring, where does it belong? Does it belong on your finger or does it belong in your shoe? Well, if you put it in your shoe, you're going to cut up your foot, right? A diamond ring is beautiful, but it's not beautiful in your shoe. It'll just cause you pain. A diamond ring belongs on your finger. In the same way, repentance belongs to a certain part of your life.
What is the purpose of repentance, and how does it relate to life and death? Hello, this is Grace in Focus, and welcome to the broadcast today. My name is Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Our discussion leaders, whom you're going to meet in just a moment, are both prolific writers of books, journal articles, and blog posts. In fact, the series that we're in currently comes from one of Dr. Bob Wilkins' books called The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible. At the end of the broadcast, I'm going to tell you how you can get your hands on a copy of that very book. So stay tuned for that. But now, we're going to unearth some pretty interesting ideas in the following discussion. Here is Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar discussing the purpose of repentance.
Welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
Well, we have been exploring some of the most misunderstood words in the Bible based on Bob's book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words. And we've been talking about repentance now, and we have challenged the practice of making repentance a co-condition with faith to be born again. A lot of preachers, a lot of evangelists, when they're asked, how can I go to heaven when I die? They'll say, repent and believe in Jesus Christ. They put two conditions. Now, that's a problem. Why is that a problem, Bob?
Repentance does not mean a change of mind. It means turning from sins. So if you say that in order to be justified or born again, you must turn from your sins, well, then really John 3:16 is misleading. And all of the passages that teach faith alone, there's over 100 of them, are misleading.
Right, because you're no longer teaching faith alone at that point. You're teaching faith plus works.
Right. Whatever you call repentance, you can say, oh, it's not a work. But if it's not faith, then faith alone won't cut it. Whatever repentance is, if it takes something extra, then that something extra means John 3:16 is no longer true.
Right. So in the last episode, we were discussing what repentance means, and we concluded that repentance is not just a change of mind, although there is a mental component to it. Repentance basically is a change of life, a change of behavior, a turning from sin to obedience. Now, the Bible does preach repentance, and Jesus does preach repentance, and repentance is important in the Christian life. Believers and unbelievers should both repent of their sins and live holy lives. But what we're saying is repentance is not a condition to be born again. It has a different usage. It has a different purpose. Think of it like a ring, a diamond ring. A diamond ring, where does it belong? Does it belong on your finger or does it belong in your shoe? Well, if you put it in your shoe, you're going to cut up your foot, right? A diamond ring is beautiful, but it's not beautiful in your shoe. It'll just cause you pain. A diamond ring belongs on your finger. In the same way, repentance belongs to a certain part of your life. But it does not belong as a condition to be born again. That's a misuse of repentance. So what's the correct use? What's the purpose of repentance, Bob?
Well, the purpose of repentance is to escape God's judgment, to escape what the Old Testament calls curses which come from God, and to instead extend your life and gain God's blessings. And last time we ended, I was mentioning Ezekiel 18. So maybe we could start there and see that there are a number of verses in Ezekiel 18 that are confused by people, but they don't need to be.
Right. So let's go to Ezekiel 18, verse 21, and here's what it says. But if a wicked man turns from all his sins which he has committed, that's what we would call repentance,
right?
Turning from the sins you're committing, keeps all my statutes and does what is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. And here's verse 32. For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn and live. Well, is Ezekiel talking about heaven and hell there?
No, but if you read many commentaries, you will see that. However, Feinberg, in his commentary on Ezekiel, specifically said this is talking about physical life and physical death, and this is the Old Testament blessing and cursing motif. Because he says here, if a righteous man turns from his righteous ways and does evil, then he will die. But if a wicked man turns from his wicked ways, he will live. It's all about life and death under the Mosaic law. And so the point would be that obedience results in blessing, disobedience results in cursing. If one continues in disobedience long enough, God will take the person home prematurely, whether it's a believer they takes home or an unbeliever. This is a principle we find all through the New Testament. The New Testament talks about the sin unto death. Same thing.
Right. So I think the challenge for me for this view, the thing that I really needed to work through in my own life, was to realize that I was spiritualizing a lot of the Bible. Whenever I read about death, whenever I read about judgment, whenever I read these verses, I just automatically spiritualized it and thought it was about heaven and hell. And what I had to do was I had to bring myself back down to earth.
Right.
I had to realize that the Bible actually talks a lot, maybe even more so, about life on earth and the consequences of our actions in the here and now. And if the Bible says, if a wicked man turns from his sins, he will live and not die, I need to take that at face value, that this is just talking about life on earth. It's your physical life.
Right. This is what every single 12-step program is based on. That if I turn from this vice that I'm addicted to, my life will be extended, I will be blessed. And now, of course, they call for the higher power, right? They don't mention God or Jesus. But within Christian versions of the 12-step, they will even talk about God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The point is, everybody recognizes that if you turn from an evil way, your life is enhanced.
So repentance is not about how to be born again. It's about how to avoid the deadly consequences of sin in this life.
That's exactly right. Now, there is another sense in which this is picked up, and that is when it's national. If a whole nation is involved in wickedness, then that whole nation can be judged by God. And so then if there are a small number of righteous people in the nation, they will be caught up in the judgment. Remember the whole discussion between Abraham and the angel of the Lord about Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, if there are 50 righteous people, will you spare the city? 45, 40, 30, 20? They finally get down to 10. Well, guess what? There aren't 10 righteous people. There's Lot and maybe his wife and two daughters. Maybe there's 4 people. The city is destroyed, but God in his grace allows Lot and his wife and 2 daughters to escape, except Lot's wife turns around, so even she doesn't escape.
Right. And by contrast, in Jonah and the city of Nineveh, that whole city is called to repent because the whole city is wicked.
Exactly.
In their case, they do repent.
Right.
And God does not destroy them physically.
Right.
Well, another example of that, Bob, wouldn't Jerusalem in Jesus' day be another example of a nation, of a city called to repent?
Yes, there's a number of verses that relate to this, but one of them, even though it doesn't use the word repent, is Matthew 23, verses 27 to 29, the last 3 verses. What Jesus says there is, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks, but you were not willing. And he goes on to say, your house is left to you desolate.
And that's referring to, ultimately, the destruction that would come upon Jerusalem in 70 AD.
Right. The Jewish war took place between 66 and it culminated in 70. And in 70 AD, the temple was destroyed. Over 1 million Jews were killed during those 4 years. The Jewish people were exiled from Israel and did not become a nation again until 1948.
That kind of reorients us to the meaning of repentance when Jesus, throughout his ministry, would say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That is not, first of all, that's not the message to individuals of how to be born again.
No, that's a good point. Now, John the Baptist in Matthew 3:2 makes that statement, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then Jesus also says that in Matthew 4:17, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is a call for national repentance because the kingdom is drawing near. What Jesus wanted to do, Matthew 23:37-39, is exalt Jerusalem, exalt the nation, establish the kingdom in the first century.
Right. So most people, though, are thinking this is the message that little Jimmy needs to believe.
Right.
So he can go to heaven when he dies. That's totally out of the context.
That's totally wrong because, for one thing, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand doesn't even have anything about believing.
Right.
This is part of John the Baptist's preparatory ministry to make straight the way of the Lord. The nation had to do two things for the kingdom to come. It had to repent, and it had to believe in Messiah. Well, if they're not going to repent, they're also not going to believe. And they didn't repent, and they didn't believe. In fact, John 1:11 says, he came to his own, and his own received him not.
Received him not, yeah.
There were a small number of people in Israel, maybe 500, who came to faith in Jesus during his ministry. But the vast majority of the nation rejected Jesus and ultimately was complicit in him being condemned and crucified.
Right, and that was part of Jesus' ministry too, warning that if they didn't repent, they would all likewise perish. We see that in Luke 13:3-5. And again, we see that this is national judgment. Think Sodom and Gomorrah, think Nineveh, now think Israel and Jerusalem. If they didn't repent, they would perish physically. They would be destroyed as a nation. And that's exactly what did happen.
And this is another one of those passages that was in my dissertation that I got confused about. But if you take a look at it, Sean, Luke tells us there were present at that season some who had told him about Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. That's physical death.
They were killed.
They were killed.
Yeah.
And Jesus answered and said to them, "Do you suppose these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you all likewise perish." Notice the word likewise.
Likewise. That means it's the same type of perishing.
You will likewise die.
And they did die.
And they did die in 70 AD. Or those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them. That is physical death.
Right.
And he says, "Do you think they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelled in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." So what this is talking about is physical death.
Right. So if you have someone who doesn't know where they're going to go when they die, and they're afraid of being separated from God forever, then tell them to believe in Jesus for eternal life.
Amen.
But if you see someone who is acting in such a way that's going to shorten their life, that's who you tell to repent.
Yes.
Because repentance is about extending your physical life, not about how to be born again.
Thank you, Bob and Sean, for that great discussion on repentance. I feel like we're beginning to get some clarity on that very misunderstood word. The content for today's discussion comes from one of Dr. Bob Wilkins' books called The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible. If you'd like to get a copy of this book, I'd highly suggest it. I've read it myself, and it's cleared up a lot of foggy thinking in my life. To get your copy, go to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And while you're there, do yourself a favor and get a free subscription to our magazine, Grace in Focus. Also, we've got free blog articles and past episodes of this show on podcast. You can learn about upcoming events and make a tax-deductible donation if you so please. You can do all that and more at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. You might even have questions or comments, and we'd love to hear them because we really enjoy interacting with our listeners. You can reach our team at radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, next time, we're going to continue our discussion about repentance. There's still more to learn. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.